Another very common question that all of us face and that I'm asked all the time, how does all this help me in achieving life balance? My answer is this. Survey after survey indicates that one of the greatest challenges faced by most people is this question of life balance. People tend to focus so much, often on work or other pressing activities, that the relationships and activities they really treasure the most end up getting squeezed and pushed aside. They end up becoming addicted to urgency, particularly work urgency, and neglect their family, their health, and even their integrity. Let me illustrate a solution with the story of a man who got caught up in this whirlpool of urgency. Now notice, as you listen to this story, that he took time to think about what mattered most to him. That deals with conscience, with vision and passion. And then he used those criteria to creatively decide how to organize his life to be in harmony with his principles and to create the life balance he desired. That deals with the discipline dimension. Notice also how the solution came through synergy with his wife. Here is his true story told in his own words. I have always had a special friendship with my mother. Together we endured a series of life events which has created a wonderful relationship. At one time in my life, even though I loved my mother and really enjoyed spending time with her, I got caught up in my commitments to work, the community, and to my own family. My life got so busy, weeks would go by before I could even make a quick phone call just to check in. And when I did manage to squeeze in a visit, we would just have sat down to talk, and it would be my time for me to leave. Another meeting to go to, another deadline to meet. My contact with this wonderful woman, my mother, literally became hit and miss. My mother never put any pressure on me to visit more often, but I wasn't happy with the situation. I knew my life was out of control if I couldn't consistently spend quality time with my own mother. So my wife and I brainstormed for a solution. She suggested scheduling a time each week or so that would work for both our family and my mother. When we looked at the calendar, we saw my wife has choir practice every Wednesday evening. That night became my night to spend with my mom. Now my mom knows that every week or two, I will be coming on a specific night at a specific time. I won't be running off within the first 10 minutes, and then there are a few interruptions. If she wants to get some exercise, we go for a walk together. Other times she'll cook a meal for me. Sometimes I'll take her shopping at the mall, which is further away than she feels comfortable driving to alone. No matter what we do, we always talk. About family, about current events, about memories. Every evening I spend with my mother is a peaceful oasis in my busy life. I tell my wife it's one of the best suggestions she has ever given me. Close quote. This beautiful little story is just one illustration of what can be done when we focus our hearts and minds upon what truly matters and then live with integrity to do it. When my own father died, I decided I was going to maintain and even increase my very special relationship with my mother because of the new void in her life. I resolved that despite a very heavy travel schedule and no matter where I was, I would phone her every day for the rest of her life. Though we live 50 miles apart, I would also make special efforts to visit her at least every 2 weeks. She lived for another 10 years, and I cannot begin to express the depth of my gratitude for her life and for the preciousness of our time together. I learned that when you regularly communicate with another person, you reach a new level of understanding that almost runs by nuance. I found that the daily phone call was not too unlike our semi-weekly visit. We felt as close to each other and as open and authentic with each other as we did when we were together. It was like one continuous conversation. It really didn't make much difference whether it was on the phone or face-to-face, which surprised me, because I always thought nothing could replace face-to-face contact. I am sure in another sense that is correct, but each conversation contains the cumulative effect of the previous conversations, so there is hardly anything to catch up on. Instead, you can share deep insights and feelings rather than just experiences. You can move ahead. Intimate communication means into me see. Just like the gentleman in the previous story, I too have had the tremendous benefit of having a very supportive and understanding wife who has an abundance mentality. My wife Sandra doesn't see life as a fixed piece of pie where there's only so much time, where time with my mother would mean time away from her. She saw that time with my mother would actually increase the depth of our own relationship. In fact, when mother passed away, we put on her tombstone a line from Shakespeare's 29th sonnet, "For thy sweet love remembered, such wealth brings." I would encourage you to read this sonnet slowly and carefully. In fact, let me read it to you right now. Let your imagination fill in the richness and meaning of each phrase, and think about it in terms of your life, and whose sweet love remembered such wealth brings. Here is the sonnet. When in disgrace, with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least, yet in these thoughts myself almost despising, haply I think on thee. And then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising, from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings. Perhaps the highest way to bring balance to life is the family. The first and most demanding form of personal growth also takes place in the family, and it also provides the greatest contribution to society, for no society has ever survived its breakup. And no one on their deathbed ever wished they'd spent more time at work or watching television. I believe, as one wise leader said, that the most important work that we will ever do will be within the walls of our own home. Another great leader, David O. McKay, taught, "No other success can compensate for failure in the home." My convictions about the importance of family are so deep and strong that they led me several years ago to write the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. Parenthood is the most important leadership responsibility in life and will provide the greatest levels of happiness and joy. And when true leadership, that is, vision, discipline, passion, and conscience, body, mind, heart, and spirit, is not manifested in parenthood, it will provide the greatest source of sorrow and disappointment. It's amazing to me how small adjustments in one's life along the lines of vision, discipline, passion, and conscience can have such huge consequences. I believe all of us at a future date will be both amazed and saddened by the realization of how such small changes could have brought about such big results. For parents to instill a sense of vision and possibility into a family, to exercise the discipline and sacrifice to pull that vision off, and to endure through the difficult times with a deep sense of passion, drive, and commitment, all in a conscience-driven way, I suggest, is the ultimate and best test of leadership. If part of the vision is to see this family culture transmitted from generation to generation, perhaps in that alone will our lives be fulfilled and joyful, even if we accomplish nothing else. But if we fail in that, we may find that success in other things will not adequately compensate. I often think about the poignant words of John Greenleaf Whittier. For all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these: it might have been. But someone else taught, it is never too late for us to become what we might have been.